This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS Radio. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and true social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show.
Well, next month, USD 259, the Wichita School District will ask Wichita taxpayers to vote yes to raise their property taxes by $450 million. I'm sure my next guest will make an effort to correct me on that statement as part of their facilities master plan. Many Wichita voters have questions about the master plan. With us now to give us some information about the plan is USD 259 Superintendent. Make sure I get this right. Kelly Bielfeld, correct?
Yeah,
look at that.
Very good.
That's why they pay me the not so big bucks. Kelly, thank you for joining this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Great to be here, John.
So tell us a little bit. Let's just start with the softball underhanded question. Tell us a little bit about the plan itself.
Sure. So as you said, $450 million, zero rate change bond issue. That's
I'll make a note on that one. We'll come back to that
one. The language we're using. But but really, to talk about the plan, it's a combination of things. Five new elementary schools will be built, two new middle schools, a future-ready center for construction trades, an early childhood facility to consolidate services. And part of the plan that's a little bit different than past bond issues, because one of the questions we get is, you know, if your enrollment's declining, why are you building buildings? So part of the plan is to close and consolidate smaller, older buildings and put two schools into one, a newer, bigger building, not bigger class size, but bigger numbers of students in the school overall. So we would be consolidating four schools and building three new ones to take seven schools and put them into three, essentially, in one section of town. So,
I looked at your website, and it does, however, they're all still within the same neighborhoods. So it's not like folks are going to be bussed out of their neighborhoods. It's still, you've done a good job of trying to help folks stay at least within their general neighborhoods.
Yeah. Yeah. They are still neighborhood schools. The neighborhood is bigger.
Right.
Neighborhood in air quotes, since we're on the radio. The neighborhood's a little bit bigger, but, really we don't see trips to school and travel being that much different for most families. The last thing I was going to say about the plan is, you know, closing down two non-attendance centers. We have five buildings that we operate that no students attend. They're for administrative purposes or technology or whatever. So really, we're trying to get leaner. We're trying to consolidate, trying to become more efficient. We can run a school of 500 students more efficiently than running two schools of 250 students. So that's overall part of the plan.
So why is it necessary to do this now at a time when Wichita voters have frankly seen their property taxes go up, and not necessarily your fault, but, you know, for a decade now, property taxes have been going up, due in part because of the county and the city of Wichita. Why now?
Yeah, great question. We feel like this is a really smart plan, and that what makes it smart is it's been 17 years since Wichita Public Schools has put a bond issue in front of the voters. So we're at a point where we are at our lowest mill rate, not taxes, like you said, but lowest mill rate in 14 years for our community. And we can keep that low mill rate and extend it. So the way I phrase this is a tax extension, not a tax increase or decrease. It's a tax extension. So we're keeping the same rate that would be expiring as the 2008 bonds expire after 20 years. And we would just extend that out another 20 years. So we feel like the timing is right. So that we can invest in our schools in the way I described earlier. But at the same time, keep taxes, the tax rate flat for, our constituents, because we know the board has been adamant about, not increasing taxes, the tax rate, that the tax increases that property owners see is really because of the value of the property going up, not because the board is increasing the tax rate.
Right. And that has been a key talking point that has been used, is that it's not changing our tax rate or that it's a zero rate change. But, I mean, let's be honest, without changing our tax rates, kind of problematic in that when this current bond, the 2008 bond, expires, effectively that's a tax cut, and essentially a no vote would result in a tax cut. For example, on a property of over $200,000, that's $172.50 a year.
Right.
So a Wichita property owner who owns a $200,000 home would see almost $175 a year property tax cut. So a no vote's a tax cut. So really, if they do nothing, if you don't pass this, it's a tax cut.
Well, if we never pass another bond issue again,
it's
yes,
a tax cut.
It would go down to zero, right? You know how school funding works in the state of Kansas.
Yep.
Better than most. And it's very complicated, but the capital outlay funds that were allocated by the state, is not enough to sufficiently, keep up on all the deferred maintenance we have in 88 school buildings.
So I was going to ask about that. What happened? I mean, there was essential maintenance that has been deferred, which I know has caused a lot of these issues. Was the money, and this prior to you, you haven't
sure.
been superintendent that long,
yeah.
but was this money allocated for other areas? Was it misspent? Was it reallocated? I mean, why are we in this position now that the money wasn't there? How come this was deferred for so long?
Well, hard choices have to be made when budgets are tight, as just like with a family, you know, and the school district's the same way. You know, last bond issue was passed in 08, and it got us some new buildings and FEMA shelters and all of our schools. But has it, you know, once that runs out, then we have choices to make about the capital outlay funds that are left. One of the priorities that our school board has taken on, both this board and prior boards, is secured entrances at all of our schools. So we have used capital funds to create secured entrances. I think we have two schools that are left that will finish up in the next year. But that money takes out of the money that we have to fix some of the deferred maintenance that comes up over time. Just like with a homeowner, we all have windows that need replaced, you know, screen doors that break, plumbing issues that come up from time to time. Those things happen. And when you have 46,000 kids.
Right.
Kids are hard on things, right? Kids are very hard on bathrooms and hallways and lunchroom tables and all that kind of stuff. It wears out things even faster.
Oh, that's fair. I would grant you that. That's fair. We're talking with USD 259 Superintendent Kelly Bielfeld. The group supporting the bond, and we just, in full disclosure, we had Ben Davis from the Vote No Bond group on our last show. The group supporting the bond say that the plan will mean, quote, real improvements for our kids. They don't go into a whole lot of details on what that means, but how would it bring real improvement for our kids?
Real improvement for our kids. So just to make sure you're clear, I'm not on a vote yes or vote
right.
no.
I'm aware,
yeah.
yes,
okay.
and to your
so
credit.
I'm just here to educate everybody. But I do believe that because our average age of our buildings is 60 years, so a lot of our buildings are older than 60 years, those buildings weren't built for the learner of 2025. The classroom sizes were smaller. The hallways were smaller. If you think about a school that was built in the 50s, you know, it was built with an office, and there was a principal and a secretary and teachers, and that was it. There wasn't special education. There wasn't ESOL services, school psychologists, social workers. I mean, all of the other support staff that now exist in a public school, they need office spaces, and they, you know, we need to build secured entrances from the start and not retrofit and all of those sorts of things. But the learning environment, I really feel like the way our teachers teach in our newer buildings that have been built in the last 25 years, they are more accommodating to today's learners with flexible spaces, the ability to group students, the ability to take kids out in the hallway and do a project, sinks in the classrooms, bathrooms that are accessible. These are real things that teachers deal with in the day-to-day, and all of those are important.
So the folks with the Vote No Bond point to the new Southeast High School, rather, as an example of a school that's relatively new. It was funded through the project and the existing bond, the 2008 bond. It was built for $68 million, which was $14 million over the estimated budget, to address overcrowding. But that school is still over capacity, and student outcomes are even worse than they were prior to the construction of the new school. So here's an example with a new school that was built with the, if you build a new school, student achievement, student outcomes will increase, and yet they didn't. So how will this project be any different than Southeast High School?
Well, I think that's a great question. And I think some of the numbers I've seen thrown around with Southeast, I'm not sure where those came from.
But I got the numbers that I looked at from the Kansas Department of Education.
Perfect. Okay. And I don't know what numbers you're quoting, but I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I do think student achievement is the strategic plan, right? Our strategic plan and our current school board is adamantly.
Yeah, I know from my conversations with Diane Albert, that is her. She is laser focused on student outcomes, yeah, which I think you are too. And to your credit, that's the way it should be.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I think the broader question is, you know, how does this bond issue fit into that plan, right? As you said, I've been on the job about 18 months. I think, you know, as we continue to spend time at board meetings talking about budget, talking about facilities, talking about, you know, all the things that need to be repaired, it becomes not a distraction. It's important work for us to take care of. That's part of the managing the budget for the board. But at the same time, we need to be spending the majority of our board meetings talking about student outcomes, just to your point.
Right.
And I would say since COVID, we are seeing improvements in Southeast and some of our other schools. We're trending well. We're a long ways away from where I believe we can be and where we should be as a district. So if we don't, and this is, I think, an important question that comes up a lot. What happens if the bond doesn't pass, right? Well, if the bond doesn't pass, the limited capital outlay funds that we have won't be enough to continue to upkeep and fix all of our buildings. So where does that money come from? It's going to have to come from the general fund. What is the general fund? Well, 87% of our general fund is staff and salaries. So in order to staff our buildings well and get the great teachers we need to increase those student outcomes, because that's the most important factor we have to control in improving student outcomes is our teachers. If we can't continue to invest in our teachers because we're reallocating resources to fix pipes and leaks and all of that kind of thing, it's going to be really hard to ever achieve the goals that we want, especially with the speed we want. Because I think both me and the school board, you know, we expect to really get moving on and seeing progress quickly on student achievement, especially in our elementary grades.
So. Well, I think my listeners, I know that's the number one focus, and it should be, is student outcomes, college and career readiness. That should be the primary focus. So
definitely.
I think we're going to find agreement on that. Do you mind, we're coming up on a break. Do you mind sticking around through the break?
Absolutely. Be happy to.
We'll take a quick break and then continue our conversation with USD 259 Superintendent Kelly Bielfeld. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. With us still is USD 259 Superintendent Kelly Bielfeld. Kelly, thank you again for joining us, by the way, to talk about this. I give you credit. Hopefully it's not too hostile territory that you came into. But let me ask you this. What do you say to voters who wonder why we're spending $450 million on new schools when, since we talked last segment, we ended on student achievement. And I think, as I've talked to folks, that, you know, they wonder, we're spending $450 million on new schools when student proficiency scores continue to either remain flat or decline in some, depending on the metric. and the district has received, you know, $700 million in bond money, yet outcomes seem to be only flat, stagnant, again, depending on whether you're looking at math or science or, you know, reading, and depending on the grade level. I know a lot of my folks that I've talked to say, well, we're not getting our bang for our bucks. Why build more buildings? Why not put it into teacher pay or, you know, more paras or into the classroom?
Yeah, great question. And that's another one that comes up a lot. You know, why don't you give this money to the teachers? Well, you know, the simple short answer is that's not legal, right? Bond money has to go toward what is on the ballot, and we can't pay staff with that.
But you could do a bond money for pay. You could do a bond for pay, couldn't you?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. I don't know. You could have done a bond for pay.
I've never heard of that, so I don't think so. But you know, you can think of it in terms of buckets of money, right? So there's a bucket that we get from, and the state has lots of strings.
Oh, I know. Trust me, I know the silo concept. When I was in the legislature, I tried to break those silos and just let you have all your money.
Well, anyway, you know, the bucket that we use for staff, what we call our general fund, and then the bucket that we have for fixing schools, you know, our starting pay is $50,000 for a teacher. And although do they deserve more than that? Probably yes. But that's pretty high in the state of Kansas. And we're pretty proud of that. Our average teacher pay is, you know, up close to $80,000 a year for the average Wichita Public Schools teacher. So we feel like we're doing really good there. Our staffing numbers, our vacancies are getting filled. Our teachers work really hard and do a great job for our kids. The bucket that is you know, needing work is the facilities bucket, right? That we have aging facilities. We have, you know, a need to put investment into that, investment into our schools. And so I think that's kind of the rationale of the bond issue. If we could take that money and give it to teachers, would we? You know, yes, but we'd still need to fix our facilities, right? So they're really two different things. And in order to be able to maintain the buildings that we have and to be good stewards of the investment that the taxpayers have made over the years, we need continued investment. Just like you do in your house, you wouldn't buy a house and then never put a dollar into it again, right? Your investment would go down, right? You need to upkeep it.
Yes, so. I think Diane and I had this very same conversation, and I on occasion have the tendency to be a smart aleck, and I think my response to that was, good stewards don't sell buildings for a dollar. But, you know, she smacked me for that, by the way. She gave me the backhand of that one. Let me ask you another, and this is, I'm sure you saw the survey of Wichita teachers conducted by the United Teachers of Wichita last year that showed a majority of teachers think that the school district is on the wrong track. Again, that may be that they want the money spent more in the classroom, but this does seem to be a continuing trend. Is it, maybe we need that money in a classroom? It's a frustration that I think a lot of Wichita voters are seeing is, why build district, why build buildings when we're not getting student achievement outcomes and college and career readiness where it needs to be?
Yeah. So there was a couple questions in there. Number one, I feel from, you know, talking to the union representatives and the teachers I know, the teachers vastly support this bond issue. That particular survey question that was asked last May, before we had a facility master plan,
It on CAKE's website,
yeah.
I think, yeah.
That was right after school closures. And the question was actually, do you feel like the district is headed in the right direction? Which I think can be interpreted as, well, if we just close buildings, right, population, you know, student enrollment's going down, are we headed in the right direction? Not, do we believe that the leadership is leading us in the right direction? So I do think that there's good support from the staff with the current facility master plan. Now, whether staff supports the bond issue in and of itself, I don't know that. But I think the facility master plan they see. So I think there's that piece to it, too. I also think, you know, one of the – you know, I'm willing to sit down and talk to anybody, any side.
Obviously, you're here tonight. So
anybody that wants to talk about the district, I love our district. I think we have great kids and great staff, and I love talking about it. But I would love to hear, you know, what's the alternative, right? If I'm going to vote no, because I feel like these buildings either aren't important or whatever, I want to see student achievement go up. How does voting no help student achievement go up? Right. I would love to hear a solution from that side and say, well, what is your thoughts? What is your plan? If you think we shouldn't be doing this, what should we be doing? So, because we're investing in the science of reading, we're investing in teacher training, trying to get all our vacancies filled. We're doing a lot of things that I do think is going to move the needle on student achievement over the next 2 to 3 to 4 years.
So. That is actually a really good question. And if we have someone from the other side on again, I will ask it, because that's a good answer. Yeah. I mean, that's a good question, and it does deserve an answer, because I'm, as you've probably heard, I'm adamantly opposed to the bond, but don't have an answer to that question other than I don't want my taxes to go up. So sure. That's a good question. We're talking with Kelly Bielfeld, superintendent of USD 259. The district is one area that I do take real issue with the bond, is the district is spending over $250,000 of taxpayer money on the election itself. And I know what you're going to say, but why was it so essential to have the election next month instead of on the regular election cycle or last November, when it would not have been an additional cost to taxpayers?
So why didn't we do it in November of 24 or November?
You could have
25?
Done it in November 24. Right. If you'd rushed it, you could have got it on that ballot, not cost taxpayers an additional, I think it's $150,000 or something like that, that it's costing taxpayers.
Yeah, I think it's 130.
Something like that.
So you use the words rushed it, which I think is.
It would have been a rush.
Right.
But it could have been done.
That's possible. I do think, when we made the decision, I think the vote was in August. Even now with the February date, it feels, there's a lot of people that don't know about it still, right? And we're still trying to, the district's job is to educate everybody and hope, encourage you to vote. It's up to the constituents to decide if it passes or not, but we just want everyone to vote. So it would have been a large challenge to get it, to get any kind of educational campaign out there in November of 24. We will be able to, because it's in February, we'll be able to move dirt this summer. We've already got architects working on things that we haven't paid anybody for that yet. But if it does pass, we have the projects already started.
And that's why you didn't want to wait till November of this year, is because then you'd be in the next
year.
Gotcha. What do you say to those who say it's you picked February because it suppresses voter turnout, you're hoping for bad weather, only that, well, it's a legitimate, I mean, those of us who've been in politics, I know you will have lower voter turnout next month because people don't vote as often. They don't vote in spring elections if there's bad weather. I mean, I know how this works.
Yeah.
And there are those who maybe they're just tinfoil hat folks, but there are those who think you picked that month because you wanted lower voter turnout.
Well, we aren't hoping for bad weather by any means.
No.
But we did. The board did commit to offering every type of voting opportunity that we can in this election. So there's mail-in voting. That'll start February 5th. You can fill out your application for mail-in voting, and they'll start mailing those out February 5th.
Right.
We'll do early voting at the Sedgwick County Election Office. We'll do satellite voting prior to Election Day. So we really honestly hope everybody I would love people to be engaged in this election and really understand the facts. I mean, that's my hope, is that they get educated and understand here's the implications for a yes vote, here's the implications for a no vote, and then make whatever decision they think's best for their family.
To your credit, and I've heard you speak multiple times, you came to the Sedgwick County Republican Party, you've come to the Pachyderm Club, you're here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
To your credit, I think you've done a very good job, and likewise to the members of the school board, trying to remain neutral.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that the district is spending another couple $150,000 on depending on your term, we'll say a public consultant, but it's an out-of-state consultant depending on the term, some would say educate, some would say market this campaign. Do you think, what do you say to a taxpayer who might be concerned that you're using taxpayer money to lobby taxpayers to an out-of-state firm for more taxpayer money?
Yeah, I wouldn't use the word lobby.
I know,
right?
But you could say that that's what's being done.
Yeah, we are educating, right? We're just trying to get.
It's a fine line between lobbying and educating, but you see the argument that they could make, that we're actually using taxpayer dollars to push this bond.
Right. So, I mean, I think a couple things. I mean, to take issue with the consultant, whether that was a good idea or. There's work to be done here. Would we have hired somebody, that we pay to be our educational person for this? The consultant We know the tab, we pay the tab, and then they move on their way. So we didn't add anyone to our payroll for this. And it's been 17 years, you know, since there's been a bond issue in Wichita Public Schools. Part of what the consultants are doing, I mean, I know you said that that's a piece of it, but that's really a small piece of it. They're helping us with site design. They're doing soil samples with us. And I mean, things that we don't have the capacity to know how to do,
right?
Permitting, some of those kinds of things, because our staff really hasn't been doing bond work any, you know, recently at all.
It's been 18 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. That was a knowledge gap for our staff. Would we need to do this again if we ever pass a bond issue down the road? Probably not. I mean, if we have feel like we have the capacity, but we felt like we needed some help on the financial side, projecting the bonds, if we were going to sell them, interest rates, all of that kind of stuff. So it's comprehensive what the consultants are helping us with. It isn't just about the educational pieces. So.
Let me ask, what happens if it? I've seen polling, so I kind of have it, but polling is problematic. But what happens if the bond doesn't pass? What's next? I've heard, you know, lots of rumors. Again, there's a lot of tinfoil hat folks who say you'll run it again. You'll try and run the bond again. What happens if it doesn't pass?
So in the short term, I think the board has a decision to make, right? The board had two separate votes. We voted for a facility master plan, and then we voted for the bond issue to be on the ballot. So the plan is the plan, and the plan was unanimous with the board, and we will start working that plan, right? So there's some things we can do on that plan.
To find other ways to pay for it.
Basically. Right, right. So like I mentioned, consolidating non-attendance centers, we can do that. Would it be ideal to put people into office spaces that aren't, you know, finished and stuff? You know, no, but we could do some of those things on the plan. We're converting one of the schools from a K-5 to a K-8. We've already started that part of the plan. So we would continue to work that plan. We would have to then determine how we want to fund it. You know, are we going to go after another bond issue someday? Are we going to live with what we have? You know, I think at some point with any school district across the state of Kansas, without bond funds, it's tough to maintain your facilities. So, but there's no like, here's the next time we're going to run the vote or anything like that. It really, the board hasn't even started those discussions because that seems pretty premature. So,
well, Kelly, I do appreciate you taking the time to join us. I hope I wasn't too harsh or too critical.
I appreciate the opportunity. I really do.
No, and I guarantee you, Steve and Ted will be running segments of this on the morning show. If folks are interested and they want information, they can visit USD259.org. Right there on the homepage, they've got links that they can go in and read all about the facility smash plan as well, correct?
Yep, that's right. And there's an FAQ that's probably 13 pages.
I mean, and you've got some listening tours coming up as well. Five of them, as I saw, coming up. Some opportunities, town halls, basically.
Yes, yeah. We're going to do, and we'll do a number of open houses, listening tours. All of the four schools that are slated to close, we're going to have, you know, parent communication and a parent outreach there. And I really encourage, you know, one of the things that came up yesterday, his constituent I was talking to was about getting into the buildings and seeing them. So I really encourage anybody who doesn't have kids in the system, you know, go to your neighborhood school, knock on the door and say to the principal, hey, could I look around? And I think the principal could show you, you know, what it's like to live in our schools. And there's some real needs out there.
There are. I know when I was a legislator, I took a few tours of some of the schools. And yeah, I'm not disagreeing that there aren't some needs. I think you've got a valid point there. Kelly, again, it's USD259.org. And do me a favor, say hello to Diane and Hazel and Kathy for me,
please. I will do. Well, I'll be sure to do that.
I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you again for joining
us. Thank you, John.
Break to pay a few bills, and then Representative Pat Proctor will join us to discuss recently passed bills by the Kansas House, which would clarify that only United States citizens can vote in Kansas elections. That's a novel concept. I wouldn't even think you'd have to pass a bill for that. 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Insurance on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show in Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Thanks again to my friend John Eck and the folks at Eck Agency for bringing us here live from Topeka on Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and like and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the Kansas House of Representatives recently passed a couple of key bills, one of which was HCR 5004, with 90 voting in favor and 28 opposed. Last Wednesday, the bill, if approved, would clarify that only United States citizens can vote in Kansas elections. The bill now goes to the Kansas Senate for approval, and if it's approved by that body, it would be later turned over to you, the state's voters, for a final decision. With us now to tell us about the bill is Representative Pat Proctor, who chairs the House Elections Committee. Pat, nice to have you on the show again, my friend.
No, thanks for having me. Sorry I can't be there with you in Topeka. I'm going to be there tomorrow morning. I'm trying to get some stuff done here in the district before I go back.
No. You got to be in the district to, I mean, that's your that's who you work for. You don't work for me, brother. So let me start with this. 28 people opposed this. First off, were any of those Republicans, or was that all Democrats, Pat?
Yeah, it was all Democrats. We got some Democrats to side with us on this bill, and I don't understand why it's not 125-0. It seems to me common sense.
That's my next question. So it was only the D's that voted against it, but why oppose this? I mean, what rationale could you use to think that non-citizens should be voting in our elections? What's the logic behind voting no on this?
Yeah, so, first of all, I'd say it was a shock to me when I discovered that nowhere in the Kansas Constitution and nowhere in statute does it actually say you have to be a citizen to vote. It says that you can't prevent a citizen from voting if they're, 18 and they live in the district. But nowhere in the Constitution, because it was such an obvious principle, did our founders think to say you have to be a citizen to vote. But clearly we need to say that because there's 28 representatives in the Kansas legislature who, for some reason, don't think you should have to be a citizen to vote. So I guess it must be necessary.
I guess, although it seems like just one of those silly things. You would think that you shouldn't have to pass these kinds of bills. Chances of passing the Senate? You think they'll have any trouble passing this across the hall from you in the lower chamber?
God willing, we're going to have overwhelming support in the Senate as well. I really want Kansans to have the right to make their voices heard on this in November 26th, because I think it'll send a strong signal. There are five other states that have very similar language to us in our Constitution, states like California, New York, and Vermont, and they allow non-citizens to vote in their elections right now. So, we are at risk. A municipality tomorrow, I'm going to pick a name out of a hat, Lawrence or Wyandotte County, could decide that they wanted to have non-citizens vote in their election. It would be completely legal. So I think it's important that we get this on the ballot so that Kansans can say with one voice, no, U.S. citizenship means something, and only citizens should be able to vote in our elections.
We're talking with Representative Pat Proctor, chair of House Elections Committee, and I know I'm kind of coming up on my middle hour break, but I wanted to ask you one other question. You had a bill that I think also came out of your committee on how we choose to, when we have a replacement at the federal level, say at the United States Senate, something like that. You know, that's a key thing. There, obviously, the Trump administration is moving fairly quickly to fill some of these vacancies. But if something came up and he needed to, you know, wanted to say appoint Dr. Marshall or somebody like that to a federal, to some kind of a position in the cabinet, and there was a vacancy, I know you guys passed a bill in order to do that, but I thought that was something that was going to be expedited. I remember talking with Speaker Hawkins when you started session, and he said that was something they were going to fast track. You guys did. But I haven't seen anything happen. It's for inside baseball terms. My understanding is the bill's lying below the line. What's happening with that? How come it's stalled?
There's a lot of behind the scenes talk. We want to make sure whatever we pass is constitutional and can survive challenge. And, you know, there's a bit of difference between the version that we've run in my committee and the version that's been run over in the Senate committee. And so, you know, it's by no means dead. And I think it's going to come out of this week, come to the floor this week and be passed. But we just want to make sure.
I would hope so. You've got turnaround coming up this week. So
yeah, exactly. But yeah, what it does, U.S. senators, insurance commissioner, or the state treasurer, if that position has to be replaced, it's not just the governor picking whoever she wants. It has to be that she has to pick from a list that's selected by the legislature, and they have to be from the same party as the person who is elected. Because, you know, this just happened not too long ago right here in 2nd District where I live.
Right.
Jake LaTourneur ran for Congress and won, and the governor replaced him with a Democrat, even though the voters of Kansas had picked a Republican for that seat. And so what we're trying to do is just reinsert the voice of the people of Kansas into the decision.
Well, that's exactly what I was hoping to see. So good. Well, hopefully they can work out the differences between the House bill and the Senate bill, and we'll see some resolution on that. Brother, I appreciate you. If folks want to connect with you, if they want to keep in touch with things that you're doing on elections for the state, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Yeah, so my website is patproctor4ks.com, and there's a little sign-up link on there. It'll add you to my email newsletter, and I cover kind of everything that's going on the elections committee one week, and then the next week everything else that I'm working on, and the important stuff going on in the legislature. So if folks want to follow what we're doing, that's the place to go.
patproctor4ks.com. Appreciate you, brother. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me on.
We'll take a quick break, and then Mackenzie Ayers from Kansans for Life will join us to tell us about their upcoming banquet. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from Topeka, brought to you by Eck Insurance on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, broadcasting live from Topeka, brought to you by Eck Agency on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity Kansas. These are great folks who believe the opportunities for freedom and opportunity are keys to unleashing prosperity for all. It's a great organization. If you're looking for a way to get involved in community organizing, make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org to sign up. And from breaking news to severe weather updates, KNSS is always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. Well, and don't forget Thursday, January 20th, coming up this Thursday, is the Sedgwick County GOP's monthly meeting. General Michael Flynn will be with us. With us now to tell us a little bit about, speaking of events that are coming up, on Tuesday, March 25th, Kansans for Life is holding their annual banquet in Wichita out at Park City Arena with Rachel Campos Duffy and Avita Duffy Alonso. You, of course, recognize Rachel Campos Duffy from Fox and Friends. She's the weekend host there, as well as a best-selling author. With us now to tell us a little bit about the event is Mackenzie Ayers from Kansans for Life. Mackenzie, thank you for joining us. It's nice to have you on the show, my friend.
Thanks, John. It's good to be with you.
So I know originally you guys, it was going to be the tag team of Rachel and her husband, Sean Duffy, but he got a new gig.
He's a little busy.
Yeah, he's kind of busy. Well, he did kind of get a reprieve today. He was at the Indy 500 with his new boss. But it's kind of cool that you've got Rachel and then their daughter, correct?
Yeah. So originally we were gonna have Rachel Duffy and her husband Sean come. But Sean got a little bit of a job promotion. He is now our U.S. Secretary of Transportation. And so filling in for Sean is his daughter, Duffy, Evita Duffy. And Evita is Sean and Rachel's oldest daughter. She hosts the Bongino Report Early Edition Daily Podcast. And it's going to be a great night. It's a pro-life mother-daughter duo. So that's something we've never had before. And if you are in the Wichita area and you're looking for just a fun night to learn about some of the things that we here at KFL are working on and just to celebrate life, we believe that life is beautiful at every single stage. And, you know, in a society where life is deemed inconvenient, the Duffys truly do stand as witnesses to the joy of love without limits. And we know that they are committed to upholding the God-given dignity of every single person. Rachel's a mom of nine, so they truly are living this out. And so we're excited to welcome them to Kansas. And
I'm sure folks will recognize her. I mean, Rachel is obviously she's been on Fox and Friends Weekend. She's an author, but you know it'll be. And I guarantee you, she'll still be able to share some reflections of what it's been like for the new transportation secretary. So, it's going to be like having Sean Duffy there because she can give those personal experiences. But you know what's interesting is I actually think by having Evita there as well. I mean, she hosts a Bongino Report. It's a daily podcast. That's another demographic that a lot of these organizations, when you guys have speakers, you don't necessarily tap into that younger demographic. And I think she might actually be kind of fun to have someone who's younger and can speak to a younger crowd.
I agree. And, you know, Evita's pretty similar in age to me myself, and it's been awesome just to see her on all the different social media platforms. And I've heard from other young people as well who have heard of her, and so I think it's, you know, a representation of the pro-life movement is it's large and it's growing, and this generation these young people, they're excited. And so we're excited to just welcome so many different pro-life Kansans from all across the state to this banquet and, you know, talk about some of the things that we're looking forward to doing. It's Tuesday, March 25th. The social hour is at 6, and then there's going to be a dinner and program at 7 p.m. And so we just invite anyone who is available that night to come join us. All of the information is at kfl.org.
And there's opportunities for sponsorships, and I know the table and ticket sales are open now as well. So if folks want to get a table or if they want to sponsor, they can get that information there as well, correct?
Yeah, and that applies if you have a friend group who you want to go with, they can purchase a table, or a church Bible study group, they can purchase a table, or just a local group that you're involved in. That's a perfect opportunity to grab your friends and purchase a table. And then, you know, if you just want to go with your significant other, you can just purchase individual tickets and come.
Right.
This is available for everyone. So yes, all of the information is at kfl.org.
We're talking with Mackenzie Ayers from Kansans for Life. I know we're coming up on my top of the hour break, but you've got other events that are coming up. I know you've got a golf tournament at Crestview Country Club coming up in April, but I also wanted to ask you about, you've got your legislative agenda. We had Danielle Underwood on the show a few weeks ago to talk about that, but you just had a successful hearing on one of your bills just last week, correct? Wasn't there? I saw something in the newsletter where you had, it seemed like a good hearing that one of your bills had passed out of committee or something to that effect?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been a very busy legislative session. I'm sure you've talked to others that are saying the same thing. It's very, very fast-paced this year, so everything's moving at rapid speed. And So we are, our 2025 legislative agenda truly focuses on surrounding women with the resources and care that she needs so she doesn't feel that abortion is her only option. And so one of those things that we're working on is would be providing more help for women and families facing medically and complex pregnancies or prenatal diagnosis. So that's what you just alluded to. So, yeah, last week we had a hearing on that bill. It would just provide more information for women who may have gotten one of those diagnoses so that they feel more supported and they have full information when they're walking through their pregnancy. And so that passed, and it has support with the disability rights movements here in Kansas. And that bill passed favorably out of committee last week, and it now heads to the House floor for consideration. And we're working on several other things, you know, expanding funding to the Kansas Pregnancy Compassion Awareness Program. We've been able to pass that or secure funding for pregnancy resource centers the last two sessions now. And really just everything that we're doing is just focusing on care and compassion and how can we surround these women to make them feel supported throughout a very, very important time in their lives. And so there's lots of different things happening in Topeka, but the best way to stay updated on everything throughout this fast-moving session is to follow us on social media because we'll post updates there all the time.
Yep, yep. Well, and like I said, I know you've also got the golf tournament. In fact, the honorary chairman for the Wichita Golf Tournament was just with us. It's Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter. I know that he's an avid golfer, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why he signed up to be the honorary chairman for the golf tournament. But I know I talked to him the other day, and he was talking about how they've got a bunch of sponsorships that they're available, and he's out right now currently trying to sell sponsorships to the golf tournament. So if folks are interested... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, a golf tournament is just a great way to, if you maybe haven't been to a KFL event before and you're nervous or you don't know what to expect, a golf tournament is an easy way just to, no pressure. You just get to meet people and have fun. And so, yeah, information about that is also on our website, too. So lots of fun events coming up.
Well, I appreciate you. Again, if folks are interested, if they want information on the golf tournament or the banquets or anything else that you, I know, and if they want advocacy information or anything like that, or more importantly, if they want to donate or volunteer, they can find out information at KFL.org, correct?
Yep, that's KFL.org.
Mackenzie, I appreciate you. Keep up the good work and just carry on the fight, my friend.
Thanks, John. You as well.
Well, don't forget that the Sedgwick County Republican Party's monthly meeting coming up this Thursday. Doors at 6:30. The meeting starts at 7 with a special Zoom conversation with General Michael Flynn. Information show otherwise, the weekly Pachyderm Club meeting. And in the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables, and we'll see you next Sunday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.